This morning, we're going to go back and take up where we left off when we were going through the catechism, the essentials of our faith, and we were looking at the Lord's Prayer in the month of November. So we go back a little ways, and the Lord's Prayer begins with "Our Father, who art in heaven." And we emphasize that the Lord's Prayer was what Jesus gave to his disciples, those who believed and trusted in him. And that belief and trust in Jesus brings us into that relationship with God in which we can call him our Father. In prayer, in the Lord's Prayer in particular, in all prayer for the Christian, is Jesus taught us to pray and gave us this prayer so that we would know how, as his children, to call upon him as our heavenly Father. And he longs to hear from his children. Now, the Lord's Prayer is a model of prayer. It's an outline of prayer. It's certainly not the be-all and end-all of prayer. It simply models for us how we are to pray. It's a good prayer to pray, but we shouldn't stop there. We should use that and take each part of the Lord's Prayer and expand on that to enjoy a good fellowship with God through his prayer. That's what Martin Luther modeled for us. Today we are looking at the part of the Lord's Prayer where it focuses not upon God and honoring God. We have that in "Hallowed be your name." That means, God, may your name be kept holy. Your kingdom come. God, let your rule and reign come to our lives and to the world. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those are the first three of the petitions or requests that Jesus told us to make. But now we come to this one, and it seems so radical that after honoring God and his glory and wanting his kingdom to come, his will to be done, God tells us what his will is, and this is what we ought to be praying for. And the first petition, the first request we ask for ourselves is, give us this day our daily bread. And that's our verse for today from Matthew 6:11. Give us today, this day, our daily bread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you show us what this means for us? And how we can trust you for your provision and everything necessary for this life. Lord, open our hearts to hear your word and your promise to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. When I said that this request seems so radical to me, it's because in the Greek language, it is very clear that the action word here, give us our daily bread. It's a strong verb, which is almost demanding of God. Give us this day our daily bread. And, you know, it would seem so bold to make such a strong request of God, except that Jesus told us to do it. This is God's will for us, that God does provide for us. And we need to understand how God provides and how we are to respond to God's provision. And all of that is in that tiny phrase, give us this day our daily bread. I don't know if you've ever experienced God's miraculous provision for your life. I don't know if you've ever seen God provide for a necessity that you had in some miraculous way. We know that God has done that for his people and times past, of course, in the wilderness, God provided daily bread through the manna that was there lying on the ground every morning when they woke up, and it was a daily provision. In fact, if they collected more than they needed for that day, they'd find that the next day it would spoil, except on Friday. They were to take twice as much so that they wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath, which was Saturday, and that didn't spoil that day. So they were to collect twice as much on Friday so they would keep the Sabbath and not have to work on the Sabbath and collect this manna lying on the ground. But every other day, they could only pick what was for that day. It was God's daily provision for them. And that was a miraculous way in which God provided for them. There was also the time when Elijah, God sequestered him. He sent him off to this one brook in the wilderness, and he provided a raven in this particular time in his life when the evil king was trying to kill him, and so God just kind of put him in a safe place, and he sent a raven to bring his literally daily bread to him, his daily provisions, and this raven would come and bring a piece of bread every day. So God in the past has provided miraculously, and we've seen, Linda and I have seen in our own lives, times when he's provided what we need in miraculous ways. We lived in North Dakota. We weren't paid very much. We lived in a beautiful parsonage. It was a beautiful house. But we did not receive much in the way of our salary, but we were thankful for farmers. And one day a farmer brought a number of 5-gallon pails full of potatoes. Not just 1 5-gallon pail, not 2, not 5, but about a dozen. We put them in a cool place in the basement there and ate on those potatoes. And wonderful that some of the women of the church came over and says, well, we're going to make lefse today, and taught Linda how to make potato lefse and put lots of potato lefse up. And that was wonderful provision of God. Right? And sometimes God provides through other people. We're going to see that in our last point today. When we talk about daily bread, we're going to find out that it does mean everything necessary for life. Not our daily wants, our daily needs. Everything that's necessary for our bodily existence is what is meant by this daily bread. And when Paul was, 6 or 7, and we needed some tennis shoes. Remember the tennis shoe story? This is a great story. And so Linda says, we need tennis shoes. Well, there were some reasons why we were in a little bit of a debt right then. We were trying to pay off a plane ticket for a trip that we had made. We just didn't have the money for tennis shoes for our son. And so we said, well, God, you know we need tennis shoes. And we just look to you to provide for them. That may seem like a silly thing to ask for. Most of us have money to go out and buy tennis shoes, but sometimes you don't. And we just didn't. We were not paid real well in that first church that we were in. This is another church. And we had a lot of needs with our growing family. And there just wasn't money for tennis shoes. And so whether it was later that day or the next day, Linda got a call from a good friend of hers. And she said, I'm kind of embarrassed to ask, and this may seem a strange request, but do you guys need tennis shoes? And she said, her father-in-law was passing by a shoe store, and they had a display out front, and they had these Converse high-top tennis shoes. And now those are real hot items now, but they were just sort of normal back then. And they had a bin of them, and they said, tennis shoes, 25 cents a pair. 25 cents. Now, this was some years ago. But, maybe 30 years ago, but even then, tennis shoes were a lot more than 25 cents a pair. So he just bought a whole bunch of them. He said, I don't know who I'm buying these for, but I'm just buying them. And she said, can you use some? Well, yeah. So he had his size, and he had the next 2 sizes up. And sometimes I think God has just a great sense of humor, because when we look to him and look to him to provide what we need, he does so in abundance. And so today we want to see and see the truth in God's word of his provision for us. Sometimes God provides in miraculous ways. But most of the time, God provides through the very normal activities of daily life, as we go to work, as the farmer plants the crops. And God works through those normal vocations of life. And that word, even the word vocation, was one that comes from Martin Luther. Because in Martin Luther's day, the only true vocation, which means calling, was to become a priest or a monk or a nun something that is totally dedicated to serving God. And Martin Luther says, no, that's not the only way we can serve God. We serve God in the various vocations of our life, the various callings that we find ourselves in life. If you're a mom or your job, if you're a school teacher, whatever your vocation is, and that we use that word now because of Martin Luther's use of it, that is God's calling for you. And as we are faithful in our various callings, doing the things that God has gifted us and called us to do, whether it's being a mom or a worker or a student, whatever it is, as we do that, God works through that to provide for us. So our daily bread here in this passage means everything that is required to satisfy our bodily needs. So Martin Luther would go on and say, such as food and clothing, house and home, fields and flocks, money and property, godly parents and children, trustworthy servants, godly and faithful rulers. You're wondering where your servants are, right? Okay. Godly and faithful rulers, good government, seasonable weather, peace and health, order and honor, true friends, good neighbors, and the like. All of those are gifts of God providing for us. As each one does their job, we have our daily bread. God provides through his creation. God says he causes the sun to rise and the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And that's the first point I mentioned here, is that God provides for everyone, even the ungodly, even the unrighteous. And in our catechism, it asks this question, does God give you daily bread only when you ask for it? No, he gives me daily bread even when I don't ask him. And when I don't receive it with thanksgiving, God provides for everyone, whether we ask for it or not. And we're going to find out, well, why should we ask? There's a very important answer to that. And so God does indeed provide for everyone. In Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16, it says, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. God is the source of all blessing, the source of everything necessary for our life. Now, while there are accounts in the Bible that I've mentioned where God literally provided daily bread for his children, usually God is providing through the sunshine and rain, giving health and strength in order to work for our daily bread. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, it says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so everything we have comes from God, and even our labor to produce our daily bread. We might think we did it, but God gives us the strength and the health in order to do that. And so God is working through our daily work, what we do, not only to provide our daily bread, but so that others would have daily bread. So we're gonna get to that also. So God provides for everyone, even the ungodly. He is at work in his creation to do that, and he provides through our own labor. So the question is, so if we got to work for our daily bread, why should we pray, give us this day our daily bread? Well, the answer that we have is very good. In the catechism, it says, why do we pray this way? Well, God truly does give daily bread to all, even to the wicked, without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that he would make us aware that these gifts come from him as a gift and enable us to receive these gifts with thanksgiving. And so God provides for us, first of all, to teach us to receive our gifts, our daily bread, our necessities with thanksgiving. Not take them for granted. We, in living in a prosperous country, don't understand that in other places, daily bread is not necessarily a daily experience. that there are many times in many cultures, many places in the world where children don't have daily bread, that may go days without bread and know what real hunger is. We take all these things for granted, but we should see them all as a gift from God. Even though he has used our hands and our labors to provide, to produce them, even our health and our ability to do that come from God. It is all part of God's good gifts. He works through society. He works through each person. Whether they know him or not, God is still using them to provide daily bread. And we pray this prayer so that we know that we've received it as a gift from God. And so God wants to teach us thankfulness. In James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Jesus, when he ate a meal, and we see this in when he fed the multitudes, what happens, and here's thousands of people, and he says to his disciples, I want you to feed them. We don't have bread for this. You know, 100 days labor wouldn't cover the bread for these people. And then, of course, Philip comes up, or it was Andrew, I believe, comes up and says, hey, there's a little boy here. He has 5 loaves and 2 little fish. You know, what are they among so many? And Jesus took that, and what does it say he did? He took that and gave thanks. The fact is that Jesus never ate a meal without giving thanks. Even Jesus modeled for us that we give thanks. And then there was Paul the Apostle, and he was on a ship that was soon to be shipwrecked. They had been 2 weeks in a driving storm. Nobody had eaten anything. Not even the seasoned crew ate a thing. They thought they were going to die. And finally, he says, God told me that we're going to land. We're going to be shipwrecked upon land. The ship will be lost, but everybody's life will be saved. So take courage and let's eat. And he took bread, it says. Nobody wanted to eat. They took bread and he gave thanks. And then he ate and gave it to people. Just part of what our normal daily life should be is giving thanks for everything that we receive because they are a gift from God. And so in Ephesians 5:20, it says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, always giving thanks. So God provides for everyone, and God provides to teach us to receive the gifts he gives, to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. But God also teaches us to be content with what he gives us. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4, 10 to 13. The fact was is that Paul was at that point in prison, and the Philippian church sent him a gift, and he was wanting to thank the Philippian church. But he says, regardless, he was content in every situation because he's looking to God to provide for him. And sometimes God provides plenty. Sometimes he doesn't provide anything at all, it seems. But he knows that whatever he has comes as a gift from God. And it teaches us contentment in what we have. Our catechism says, why do we pray for daily bread? Well, Jesus teaches me to pray for daily bread because he wants me to learn to be content with what he gives me each day and not worry about the future. And that brings us to the next thing, is trust. He wants to teach us thankfulness. He wants to teach us contentment. He wants to teach us trust. In Matthew 6:34, it says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God wants us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And remember, it's a strong verb. Give us this day our daily bread. He tells us, pray forcefully, But as we pray, remember that God is providing our daily bread, and everything we have is to be received with thanksgiving, to teach us contentment and to teach us to trust God whatever our circumstances are. Teach us to trust God whatever our circumstances are. Sometimes those circumstances can get very dire. Sometimes we say, well, God, you're not providing daily bread. What about times and places where God withholds the rain and the sunshine, and there is no crops grown because there is a drought, a famine? How is God providing there, we might ask? And that brings us to the third point today, that God provides for each of us, and God provides in order to teach us those three things, but God also provides so that we can share with other people. There is never a time when there is not enough for everyone. There is never a time when there's not enough for everyone. It simply is that sometimes some people will be experiencing extreme want, no fault of their own. Now, there are times when people, because they're doing drugs or they're misusing their funds, they're making poor choices, they bring on their own poverty and their own problems. And that can be true. There's others that, you know, children that are born in poverty, maybe their parents are making poor decisions, or maybe there's a dad that lost a job, no fault of his own. What do we do then? Our catechism says, what is the duty? What is your duty to those who have no daily bread? And Scripture clearly tells us my duty to those who have no daily bread is to feed them. In James chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, it says, suppose a brother or sister was without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and be well fed, but does not do anything about his physical needs, what good is that? No, we are to provide for those in need. I like Ephesians 4:28. It says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer. So if you've been making your living by stealing from others, don't do that. But must work, doing something useful with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with those in need. You would think that it would say, doing something useful with your own hands so he can provide for his own needs. But it doesn't say that. It says being able to do something useful with those own hands so that they'll have something to share with other people. God intends us to share. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 16, it says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, who's the one that supplies that? If you're saying Uncle Sam, you got the wrong answer. Now he, that is God, who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Paul was taking a collection for needy Christians in Jerusalem who were going through persecution at that time. Goes on to say, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. God provides for us so that we can share with others. And when we ask, well, how is God providing daily bread? Sometimes it is because someone else shares their daily bread with the one in need. God is still working through us to provide daily bread for others. Jesus instructs us to pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us, not give me my daily bread, but give us our daily bread. And it is there because one may have more than they need and one may not have enough. But he gives us collectively our daily bread so that we can share it and have enough for everyone. Give us this day our daily bread. God gives and God provides, even to those who don't know him. But how he wants us to come and to know him as the giver of every good gift. And the greatest gift he has given us is not our physical daily bread to supply our bodily needs. But as Thomas read at the beginning of the service, he has given us the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. He will supply the hunger and thirst of our soul, not just our body. He will give to us what we can't do for ourselves. And salvation is also a gift of God that Jesus provided for us by giving his life on a cross. He is the bread of life. He is the bread of life that will never end. He gives us eternal life. And if you've not received that eternal life, I pray that this morning you'll receive Jesus, the bread of life, and not only be thankful for what God gives us in our daily needs, but gives us for our eternal need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you tell us forcefully to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And Father, as we do and as you do provide, may we be thankful for your gift. May we be content with what you have provided. May we trust you for the future, knowing that your gift comes in daily allotments. You've not promised us tomorrow or the next day. You've promised us today or what we need in the next 24 hours. And so, Lord, may we put our trust in you for all things. And specifically, may we trust in Jesus, because through him, you have given us what we need most desperately, a Savior, the forgiveness of our sins, the bread of life that produces eternal life. And Father, if there's anyone here today that's never put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that this morning they would cry out to you and say, Lord God, Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe that Jesus came to die for my sin. I believe he rose again so I can have eternal life with you. Lord, come into my heart and into my life as my Savior and Lord. Father, live in me and help me daily to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.